In the summer of 1999, I'd been living in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., for a couple of years. And I had recently transferred to a new company, an upstart, up-and-coming telecommunications company, which was an increase of 50% of pay from my drudgery in management consulting. And they, of course, promised me that I'd retire by 40 with millions of dollars in my pocket. But unfortunately, I'm here tonight, so... I will change some of the names of the individuals. I will not change the names of the companies because they no longer exist and can no longer sue me. So it's very nice. Anyways, I was in a telecom firm. I was working right on 15th Street. I had a lovely view outside. I shared an office with two other great individuals. We could sometimes see the presidential motorcade go by because we were two blocks from the White House. I lived in the city, so I could like ride my bike every day. I got good exercise, free parking. It was kind of like a nice little life. I didn't work crazy hours, and they brought in free food. Starting in the summer, like things started changing. There was a myriad of changes. Actually, in like the last few months, the organizational charts of the company had changed. I had moved from three different parts of the company in 3 months. I'd gone from engineering to operations to sales and marketing, which... The last one said I was in sales and marketing, even though my job never changed. But the line went to engineering. So because we had hired this new chief operating officer, who, of course, is going to whip us into shape because he had gone to West Point and he had a great attitude like that. So I was in the Peace Corps. We kind of didn't see eye to eye. So I'm going to get to that. And one of his ideas was to take... representatives from each of the divisions, from accounting, from sales, from operations, etc., and to put us all in one room so we could solve problems real time, which seems to make sense. I thought it was going to be, say, maybe, you know, 2-3 hours a day. But what he did was he took us out of our nice offices with windows with views outside like this, and he put us in an interior room in cubicle land, with a window that looked out into the hallway with horrible fluorescent lighting. On top of that, he decided to put a conference table about 6 feet from the back of my chair where members of the engineering and operations team would come in every morning at 9 a.m. and they would shout for 2 hours to the speakerphones to the various people that they were trying to negotiate with around the globe. It did not provide for a conducive work environment. And I decided to go have a meeting with my new chief operating officer. He, of course, had a new, lovely, large office. Easily, he could have put a conference table in there and shut the door. Nobody would have been disturbed. I pointed that out to him. He didn't take that too kindly. So then, actually, I pulled out the manual, the employee manual, that stated that the company was required to provide us with a safe and non-threatening and quiet environment, which he was in violation of. He called me words I really don't want to say, and that I was being some type of a South American terrorist who was bothering his day. So, anyways, then his next wonderful idea was to put my division on a bonus plan. But my division, our bonus was based on lowering costs, whereas the sales guys, they would sell, it was carrying telecommunications traffic. So it was internet, it was data, it was mobile cell phones, and that was like where like the big core of the money was, moving away from landlines. But because mobile was exploding so much, for some reason our country does not do this, but other countries, like, they break out their codes. So like say 805 would be landline, 806, 807 would be mobile. But what companies like MCA WorldCom, a scam of a company, would do is that they would take the mobile traffic, hide it in the regular landline stuff, sell it to us, the sales guys would book it, they get a bonus based on that gross, and my job was to try and fix that and bring down the cost because we were losing money. Yes, so that was fun. So anyways, month after month, the sales guys got their bonuses. After a few months, we did not. So I took it upon myself to make a bonus plan for ourselves, for my division, and I put a coffee can out at the end of my cube, and I used the language pretty much from the email that was more or less transcribed what they had sent out regarding our bonus plan. I put it right there, and I put a picture of Che Guevara right there as well, because I had been a Peace Corps volunteer in Uruguay and South America, So he thought I was that anyway. So he thought I was some terrorist who worked for the CIA to overthrow governments and was a leftist socialist. So I thought, I'm just going to play along. So, and what the bonus plan was is that people who go to Starbucks or go to lunch would put in their spare change. And we started actually collecting money. I got over $25 in the first week, which was much more than anything the company had given us. About 2 weeks into this, he did come down to talk to me, and he was not too pleased what was happening. But he did actually put a couple bucks in. He kind of did like my spunk, if you will. But he said that he'd be watching me for the rest of my time there. So he's a great guy, Bill Garrity. I'm not sure if he's still working in telecommunications, but he still actually exists. Meanwhile, at home, I was living in a group house with people that were working in government or non-governmental organizations. I was like the capitalist pig of the house. And the couple that owned the house, they were going to get married. It was like August, and the invitations for the wedding had arrived that week. That same week, Larry, we'll call him, moved out because it was found out he was cheating on Mary, the other owner of the house. So as I was going to work and hearing screaming and yelling, I was coming home at night and hearing screaming and crying. Very lovely, caught in the middle to be not caught of. On top of that, the couple renting the downstairs apartment, which was separate from the house, also been married for a number of years. She met some new guy at traffic school. I wish I was making this up, but I cannot. Got knocked up, moved out 3 weeks later. So the only thing that I think that saved that guy, saving grace, was fortunately he brewed beer in the house, so it kind of made everybody feel better. And then my other housemates, we'll call her Lisa, who worked in nonprofits, who worked in finding homes for homeless teenagers. She went to church all the time, comes to me crying because her relationship had just broken up. And she was like, well, I'm not sure if I should get a male perspective. Maybe I should go talk to Mary, the owner of the house. I'm like, well, what happened? She's like, well, he got married. I'm like, what do you mean he got married? Like, when did you start seeing this guy? Because I didn't really see her that much because my hours are crazy. So she had seen this guy from almost 2 years when he had started seeing the other woman who became his fiance, who he married. And she was wondering what the heck was going on with their relationship. So I asked her why she was staying for so long. But anyways, all this misery and drudgery wound up being the company got bought. They said, we're all going to get these huge bonuses and stock payouts. They laid a third of us off, including myself. But 9 years later, I was living in New York City, and the company that oversaw the buyout of Facilicom International was this company called Lehman Brothers. 9 years later, I was living in New York City, and the day Lehman Brothers collapsed, I went up and gave him a two-handed salute. So it was very lovely. Thank you very much.